This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, evening everybody. Welcome back to the Seasides podcast. Carlisle reaction show. Apologies on the live stream for our lateness in starting. Once again, it's our foppy haired senior member over there causing the issues again.
Not Reggie.
Reggie was on straight away. Bang.
Can't see you, that bloody girl.
And it's still the wrong mic. It's the bad quality one. You have a fiddle with it.
And then suck your mic out. I can't comment because I did it last time when I'm looking at it thinking what's wrong. It wasn't plugged in. So
Hey, Fleetwood have won up already, by the way.
Who are?
Fleetwood. 1 minute, one up.
I've put a banner there. Tonight's key matches, latest scores. I didn't even think of putting Fleetwood on it, Maggie.
No, I just say pop up.
Who are they playing?
Peterborough away.
Tim's frozen now.
That'll be a hell of a result if they hang on to that.
Who's that? So, he's Raggy in witness protection.
It's because you're a bit dark, Raggy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Stick a light.
Yeah. I want to conceal my identity.
And the quarters of Raggy looks like he's in witness relocation program. Is that different from with its protection? Yeah, same thing. Great minds think alike, Mr. H and Andy. Right, Tim, how are you doing? Jesus. Should we just cut this stream down? Should we just finish now? It's just
a crack on. I've got to knock off in 19 minutes.
Oh, I've given up on that, mate.
Hey, it's working.
Hey, it's working.
It's not. I've turned it off.
It's working, Tim. Anyway.
I've had a few gremlins again. Punishment coming in from work 5 minutes before the show starts.
Goal, Barnsley. Barnsley goal, 1-0.
Oh, fucking hell.
Dear me. Nope.
We didn't want that.
Just already.
So Barnsley are only 1 point. They only really need 1 point, don't they? To get...
They've got to lose tonight, and then we've got to beat them, and then do better than them on week on Saturday or week on Sunday. So we need nil tonight, and then us to beat them on Saturday. But I think we all know where this is going, don't we?
It's an important game for Portsmouth, though, because they did it to win the league, don't they? It's not a given. Yeah. That they're winning
long way to go.
Very early goal. Very early goal at Carlisle, wasn't there? Tim, Nick, you went.
We did, and I did the Carlisle podcast and said to them, listen, don't expect us to be flying at you from the off. And we score after 22 seconds. Proof, if ever it were needed, that I have no idea what I'm talking about. And I thought, wow. Is this going to be a 3 or 4 niller? Great start. it was a throw-in, wasn't it? I think the Carlisle guy flicked it onto Lavery, and he flicked it through to Dembele, and still quite a bit of work to do, but Dembele being Dembele just sort of ran with the ball and curled it majestically into the roof of the net, and cue pandemonium in the away end. Me and Tim got the train there, although I nearly didn't. I got up very early, loads of time, thought I'll have a nice breakfast, Fail drop me in Poland, we'll get the train. All of a sudden it was 10:15 and I was like, shit, it's in 10 minutes. Just made it to Poland station as the train was pulling in. So I managed to jump on that.
The train had definitely pulled in before you came down those stairs.
I've not moved that quick in a long time, I tell you. We had a good few beers in Carlisle beforehand, met up with a few other Blackpool fans and a couple of Carlisle fans on the way, actually, who were really, really decent people. We had a good chat to them. So it was a good start, and then an even better start with Dembele's goal. And you're thinking, right, is this it? You know, is this the statement that we need at this stage of the season? And to be fair, we did control the first half. The conditions certainly played a part. It was very much in our favour in that first half. And I was just thinking, we probably need to get another couple of goals, because in the second half, even at 1-0, you never know. I mean, Carlisle were poor. You can kind of see why they are where they are. They didn't really create much. We had the chance with, I think Lavery potentially got fouled for a penalty and also should have scored when it was squared to him at the edge of the box, and he skied it over. And I was a little bit worried that, you know, at some point, even a team that are poor, they're going to get a chance from somewhere. And in that second half, I knew it was going to be a struggle because the wind was that strong. I don't know if you saw it when you were watching it, but like, keeper trying to take a goal kick, the ball's literally rolling as he's trying to kick it. So I thought we really needed to try and put it to bed in that first half, and we didn't. And then the second half was a bit of a non-event, to say the least.
So Raggy was just fingering then. Let's get the banner back up.
1-1
equalised. 1-1
Boom. 1-1
Yenge.
Is a finger in a light fist.
Yeah.
No fisting round here. That's actually on the show notes.
Fisted the again. North get fisted. The South get fingered. God knows what happens to the West.
Reggie, as a man of influence in the North, what's your take on the fisting and? I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be, and it does beg the question: why isn't nothing being done about it?
Well, because we're long before it happens, aren't we? Most of the time. Listen, people do what they want to do, don't they? This what can you do? What can you say? They want to do it, they do it. Well, it's not for me. Well, listen,
there's definitely encouragement coming from that B block, it seems to be, more than anything else. I don't know what's going on B block, but you need to.
If anyone's fooled, if Critchley fools himself into thinking that's got the majority of fans behind him because he hears a little bit of that, then it's crazier than I think he is.
Raggy, you didn't go up to Carlisle, I believe, with me.
I gave my ticket up the night before, actually. To Sharpie, I give it him. Said you go and have a good day out, lad. I'll stay here.
It was a proper old school day out, actually, Raggy. You'd have actually enjoyed it in Carlisle beforehand. It was very good.
I'll tell you the way I was looking at it from the start of the week. I'd written it off the season anyway, and I thought, so effectively, I'm going to Carlisle for a day on the piss. Well, guess what people in Carlisle do when they want a day on the piss? They go to Blackpool. So I thought, well, I'll just stay here where I am then. That'll do. And then, listen, the standard of the game, I didn't miss much, did I?
Well, I actually had a free ticket. I hope Joe's not listening to this. Because when Joe can go, sent me his ticket, he'll probably hear this. But I had a grassroots game in the morning, sort of dragged on a bit, and it was a rush. And I thought, you know what, I can't be arsed. It meant me driving. Roadworks.
He did ask us.
Tim. I did message Tim on the hope that he might have been driving. Oh, can I jump in with you? But the response back was to my message, "How you going?" was a picture of him and Nick on the train, grinning like Cheshire cats. That was the answer in pictorial form. Yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare as well, traffic-wise. I noticed quite a few people on Twitter, Mitch included, got stuck with people coming in late into the ground.
I think most people are in. It kind of got clear. The potential problem was the day before where there was a really bad crash. I think not far from Penrithyn, the M6 was closed for most of the afternoon and overnight into the morning. So I spoke to Tim on Friday night and said, "What do you want to do?" Because at that point, we didn't know whether it was going to be open or not. And there was only two of us. And I thought the train was pretty expensive at the start. But when you break it down between Poulton to Preston and Preston to Carlisle, it wasn't too bad. So I said, "Let's just jump on the train and we can have a few beers, if nothing else." And, you know, like I say, it's always the football that that interrupts the day out, isn't it? So, yeah, we jumped on the train. But I think it seemed pretty full, didn't it, Tim, by the time? I mean, we were quite late getting in because we were in the pubs till quite late. But it seemed pretty full by the time kickoff came anyway.
What was the mood when the team sheet dropped? Grimshaw, husband, back in as captain. Noticed Pennington, Byers, Carey, Dembele, Coulson, Beasley, Lavery, Hector, Hamilton. On the bench, O'Donnell, Gabriel, Morgan, Joseph, Virtue, Casey and Kwasity, yeah, the new signing. Tim, come to you first. The once again inclusion of CJ Hamilton over Jordan Gabriel. What's your thoughts on that?
When I first saw the team sheet, I thought I'd have four of the subs starting was my first immediate thought. And then you obviously start looking at what we have. Those of a positive mindset will say Hamilton set up a goal against Fleetwood and that justified him starting on Saturday. I did think on Tuesday night, the second half against Fleetwood, he was completely anonymous. In fact, I thought he'd actually been substituted for a while. Genuinely, I remember saying to somebody, "God, I didn't realise Hamilton was still on the pitch." I didn't think he justified keeping the shirt. And I am concerned. And listen, I've got no particular gripe with Beasley, but Beasley now seems to have defaulted into our first choice striker, which concerns me. I know Joseph hasn't scored many goals, but he's an infinitely better player to have on the pitch. And the fact that he doesn't make the starting 11 when we've got various forwards missing concerns me. And no doubt Critchley will say, "Well, he's not scoring enough," but it's not all about scoring. It's about what you do in possession in that top third. And I rate him. Of what we've got available, I rate him as the best footballer. So I don't like to see him on the subs bench, if I'm honest. And I think you know what I think about Casey. I think Casey should be starting. And I'd have also, I think there's a Gabriel. I'd have started Gabriel and Joseph and Casey. And I think the jury would be out on whether Morgan should have started. Because to be fair, I think Byers has been doing quite well, and the way that he and Carey have interacted in midfield with Dembele probably justifies not messing around with that, I think. But as always, I wasn't overly impressed, I think is what I take, you know, it's the short answer. I just think it's the usual, well, most certainly one favourite who seems to keep a shirt at any cost. And certain people seem to drop out of the team at the drop of the proverbial hat when they've played quite well.
Raggy, over to you. Your thoughts on that? Only Casey's got to feel hard done by, hasn't he? For getting binned off.
Yeah, I mean, I just looked at it and tried to work it. Well, it's not hard to work out the system because it never changes. So I just thought, I'll tell you what I thought after a little bit of looking at it. We've not got as good a team as I thought we had at the start of the season. That's why I think. Having seen them all season, I thought at the start of the season we had a squad that was capable. I just think we're about where we are with that squad. Probably finish eighth, and that'll be about right.
Yeah, I still think if we played 4-4-2, we'd get we'd get a greater return on
Sam's
investment in the squad. And I do think we'll be higher up in the league than we are, because I think that this system's been our undoing away from home, undoubtedly.
You'd get a lot more out of Hamilton, Tim, because being his natural wing position, and you'd have Gabriel at right back bombing on, you know, like overlapping. Them two had worked well, I think. I think he's doing CJ a disservice.
And you wouldn't be relying on Epiteta being your quarterback, spraying the ball about, which you can't do. Instead, he'd be playing as part of a centre-back pairing, which the best when we've seen the best of Marv, it's been when he's had somebody alongside him. So I think there's a listen. I'm not saying you never play this system, because actually at home it's worked quite well, but away it's generally been shocking. And you know, yes, we won on Saturday, but it was bar that you know, we were quite dominant in the first 30 minutes or so. But they are bottom of the league, and they're bottom of the league for a reason. And we had the win behind us in the first half. So, and as Nick said, it was having a fairly significant impact on the game. So we were always likely to have more possession in that first half with the elements in our favour. And when they turned, so did our performances. So it was a lot more difficult in the second. So I don't think it's, I don't think we played the way that, of all season away from home, a way that would maximise returns. But there we are. We're like a broken record, isn't it? And I think most fans are now coming round to the reality that it is a flawed system. There seems to be, when you speak to people, there seems to be very little dissent from that view. And it's a lack of, you know, again, I've listened to the podcasts I've missed while I've been away, and you know, we're talking about the lack of in-game management and the way that we don't adapt. And you know, we could have easily have come away on Saturday with a draw or even a loss, because I wouldn't quite say we were hanging on, but most certainly it wasn't comfortable. And it should be comfortable. We should have beaten Carlisle relatively easily for me, based on matching player against player. But we seem to be low in confidence. There are the strikers just aren't hitting the target. I mean, I think we had about 14 shots, but only two of them were on target, including the goal. And that's quite poor. Now, how much that's down to the system and how much of it's down to individual confidence, I don't know. But Lavery's confidence is incredibly low. It's a pity he didn't score that goal on Tuesday night with a pen, because I think he was desperate just to get a goal to help him get in a better mindset. But as Nick touched upon, his blaze over the bar was, it made me wince. It was so poor, because he did everything wrong. But yeah, two shots on target out of 14 is worrying, and it's reflected in the fact that our goal ratio, particularly over the last 10 games, isn't good, is it? So is it less than one a game, I think, over the last. And there were 11 games. And that includes playing some team, you know, Fleetwood, Carlisle, both at the bottom. Having with that nickhead on, I'd say we're not conceding many goals either. So in some respects, defensively, the system seems to be working. But it's when we're in possession, it's just incredibly boring and to watch. And I think it's further down, but hence my thread title on the way home on the train. Me, Nick, and Tigger were stood on the paddock, in the seat, sorry, to the side, and a group of about five lads, because the atmosphere, it started off the atmosphere, right, but it died away in the second half significantly because of the poor quality of the game. And there's about five lads singing, "This is the best trip," as he was hailing in our faces and as we were hanging on with them for a 1-0 win against Carlisle. So me and Tigger were chuckling, saying more like the worst trip. And that obviously then featured in the thread title I put up on the train home. Being a bit mischievous, I have to say. But it most certainly got the natives discussing things in it. And I think it turned into quite a good constructive thread about how we think about the systems and what we think about our approach to games, which is... at the end of the day, what forums are all about, isn't it?
Double century as well, I believe, Tim.
Yeah, it's still going. I mean, I'm headed towards the triple, I believe.
Like Brian Lara.
And that's without Phil, that Phil Rickey or Andy Ludd taking over and doing a middle wicket for me.
Nick, as I think Tim just touched upon chances missed. George Byers once again fluffed his lines a couple of times in front of goal before he went injured. It's been a bit of a pattern of him this season. He's a good player, but he should have at least three or four goals by now. Unmarked header, pressure, and he's just headed it wide. So players like him really need to be contributing from the midfield area. We need goals from midfield.
We do, yeah. And particularly when, like Tim said, we've got strikers who are so sort of short of confidence, Lavery, and even Joseph as well. When he comes on, you can see that, you know, there's no lack of effort, no lack of trying, and you can see he's desperate to get a goal, but the longer it goes on, you think the more he's probably snatching at things and it's just not happening. He probably needs a run in the start, but, you know, he's not getting it. He prefers Bees as he's one of his starting strikers and Lavery at the moment. And yeah, we've talked about goals from midfield for a long time, haven't we? But I don't think, again, we play a system particularly that lets players drive from midfield. It's not our creativity. It comes from Dembele, but it's just Dembele, isn't it? Or unless CJ manages to beat his man and get a cross in, it doesn't really come from Norburn when he's playing or Byers particularly. Morgan had a bit of a run, didn't he, where he was scoring a few before he got injured, and it's good that he's back in. And whilst Byers got injured, that's unfortunate. I suppose Morgan's got a few more minutes, which is no bad thing. But yeah, I think all round it's, you know, that's 3-1-0 wins in a row, which is great. And you could, I think I said on the last pod, you could argue that at this stage of the season, it's not really about performances, it's about getting the 3 points, and which we've done, and it keeps us in with a chance. But there's a wider pattern to that, and it goes back a lot further than the last three games. And again, I think I said on the last pod about, you know, previously when we've been in and around playoffs, you've been confident, not bothered who we play, we'll give anybody a game. It doesn't feel like that at the moment. It feels very, very stagnant, almost like Raggy said. I think we'll finish eighth, and I think we probably will, and that's about probably where we deserve to be. You know, we'll see at the end tonight, won't we? We'll know one way or the other whether we're still in with a shout, and then if we are, it's a massive game on Saturday, and maybe we keep it going. But there isn't that buzz for me. You know, when you're seeing a decent side who score goals, and we're not doing it at the moment. It's maybe a sign that it's a pretty poor league, that we're not playing great, but we're still in with a shout. So, you know, you never know, and you want to be positive. But at the same time, there is part of me that just thinks, you know, once it's done, and if we don't make it, you couldn't really argue that we should be in there over the course of those, you know, 30-odd games, because I don't think we probably deserve to be.
Raggy, would you agree with that?
Yeah. I don't think it's been anyone's most exciting season they've ever witnessed. I'm not sure it's the best, the worst trip we've ever been on, but it's certainly the most boring. I'll put it that way. We've had worse times, but I'm not sure I've ever been so bored where it takes effort even to leave the Arnfield Club and walk over to the ground sometimes. But we must do it. You've got to do it, haven't you? So it's these times that will make the good times even better when they come back. But yeah, if we finish eighth or seventh, that's probably where we deserve to finish. But if we finish sixth, if we somehow sneak in, well, we all know what happens next, don't we? So book your Wembley hotels.
Blackpool do. It's in their DNA. Quite a good conversation piece. Everyone on the stream, everyone in the studio. What's the most boring season you can remember following Blackpool, and who is the manager?
I think it's this. Sorry,
you think it's worse?
But I just think it's it because I remember the Worthington era as well, and yes, it was shocking. And but the the club was a, I don't know, the whole thing was a ramshackle mess back then, wasn't it? But I've been describing it lately, like, look, Blackpool, we're the town, us as people, fans and that, we can handle up and down. We just can't handle this sat on the top. Well, I keep saying to people, we're stuck on the top of the roller coaster. We can handle it up and down all day long. We deal well when we're down and we deal well when we're up. But when we're just stuck like this, that's no good to no one. No one knows what to do. And that's how I felt all season, just mundane, boring. And I've not been able to get properly up for it. No, get upset about it. But I don't like that. I either want to be fuming or over the moon. So Mr. Sadler, sort it out for us. Get me fuming or happy. One of the two.
Oh, on my thread, I actually said further down, I think somebody else jumped in and probably said the most apt title would have been, is, you know, the most disappointing season. And I think there is a huge, most certainly, and this is the way I feel, a huge sense of disappointment that we haven't made the best of what we've got. And, you know, whichever way we look at it, there's a reasonable amount, for me, a reasonable amount of investment gone into that squad. I'd be interested to see where we're at in due course in relation to how much we've spent compared with others on wages. But I bet we're top six for wages. And so, and we've never really broken in, have we? You know, we're probably as close to the top six now as we've ever been. You just go back to the Fleetwood game. If you know, every time we've ever played Fleetwood at home, there's been an infinitely better atmosphere than there was last Tuesday night. And yet, in theory, at least on Tuesday night, we had something to play for. But I don't think anybody believes. I don't think anybody believes that we're capable of going up, or that we are well deserving of going up, as Raggy's spoken about. And you know, I was there on. I was up in the hospitality actually on Tuesday for a change. And I just looked around the ground, and it was people were bored, and people were on the phones, and people weren't getting involved and getting behind the team. The team didn't look like they had any swagger about them. And again, we're playing second bottom of the league. And I'm looking at it, and it was hard to tell sometimes who was the better. I know we've already discussed Fleetwood, so I don't want to spend too much time going back over it. But it was hard to tell who was the better side. And but for the issues over the wind on Saturday, which had a dramatic impact on the game, I think it was the same on Saturday. Yes, we did control it in the first half, but that was wind-assisted, and then struggled in the second for the same reason. Carlisle struggled in the first. So we don't seem to impose ourselves in the way that we should do, unless sometimes we're playing teams at the top, and that makes it more frustrating, because when you see us beat the likes of Bolton and Peterborough and Portsmouth and Barnsley, you think, well, why can't you do that when you're playing, you know, no disrespect, but the teams at the bottom half of the table? And that brings me back to my frustrations over the system and the fact that we never change it up. We never think, right, well, that doesn't work. You can tell after 10 minutes of a Blackpool away game, can't you, what it's going to be like? And yeah, after 10 minutes, you might as well rip up the 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whichever you want to call it, and do something different, because it isn't going to change for the rest of the game. And they must see that.
Also,
they got their head in an iPad or not.
Also,
the Boswells.
The fact that, you know, Oxford are scoring 4 or 5 goals every game at the moment, the team's scoring loads of goals, that's worth a point now. They've overcome our goal difference advantage. And that could be the, I think, did Mitch say it? I think he said last pod, we'll probably end up on the same points as the team that goes, that hits six, and we'll get there on goal difference. Nick, over to you, Puigo, anyway. Most boring season ever.
It's probably up there. I think the thing for me is we've had seasons previous where it's been boring, but there kind of wasn't the expectation that I think there is this season. You knew where we were as a club, but it was, you know, you knew it probably wasn't going to be great, but you weren't expecting us to be in the top six, for example. I think this season with the budget, there was an expectation that we'd be there, and right, we are there or thereabouts, but not that it was just going to be, the style of football that it's been. And I think that's the thing for me. It doesn't feel like we're just on the edge of the playoffs and we have a chance of getting in there, even though we are. Like Tim said, you can see after 10 minutes, particularly in away games, you know what it's going to be like, and that's been the story of the season. So it's a weird one to still be in with a shout and to feel like this, because like I say, normally you're absolutely buzzing and you're going into that game on Saturday, and depending on how things go tonight, they go our way, you're like, right, we can do it. But you don't feel like you're on the crest of a wave. You feel like there isn't any wave, if you know what I mean. It just feels very flat, which is weird when you're just outside the playoffs, but that's the way it is. It's a bit of a strange one. But yeah, it's, you can probably count on one hand the games where you've come out going, wow, I'm absolutely buzzing with that, and we fully deserved it, and let's keep it going. It's been very stop-start, consistently inconsistent all season. So, but there's still hope. There's still hope. We're hanging on in there, aren't we? So on that positive note, I will love you and leave you.
And Preston have just gone one down as well, so I make it feel even
better.
There
you go. Even better.
And congratulations on getting your job, mate.
Cheers. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, great news today. Appreciate that. Right, I'll see you all soon. Thanks, guys.
Male escort, that job was for the viewers. Male escort.
That's right. Very favourable.
That won't last long. He'll be sacked after an hour. See you later.
Wears nothing but a Blackpool scarf to hide his dignity.
On that bombshell. Ta-ra.
See you later, mate.
Back to the game. In fact, let's just get this. Get this up, see if it's worked. We're all squashed there. We can see a bit of a live action of what's going on in the Oxford game.
Oh, go on. Look at that. Modcast, it's like walking football on a Wednesday night, this. Is that how that goes?
It's exactly like it.
I believe you're playing now here tomorrow.
I am, yeah.
Going for a walk.
Yeah. No. You could jest no more.
Yeah.
Show them how it's done, Reggie. Show them how it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll outpace one or two of them.
Well, you're nearly old enough to play yourself, Reggie, aren't you?
Oh, no. Not fit enough. I might be.
Red Bull half-time.
Tim, Dembele was absolutely on fire in the Carlisle game. It'll be a massive loss when he leaves. From slalom and runs to... He also nullified Carlisle's best chance in the first half. Last-ditch sliding tackle from our mercurial midfielder. I don't even remember that.
Pocket action man, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely...
We talk about how boring the season is.
They didn't play him for God knows how long.
Well, he didn't play with Fleetwood, did he? Or
Wickham at home.
Dropped him for Wickham at home. But I mean, we talk about being an incredibly boring season, but probably, you know, the only highlight for me, other than a few of Rhodes' goals, is just watching him play, because the way he caresses a ball and the way that he turns and the way he uses his, you know, relatively small body to his advantage to try and, you know, create space and create scenarios for himself is fantastic. And we're going to miss it. I think it's one of those things when he's not there, it's a little bit like when Wes left and when Bowler left. It's only when they're gone that you realise how exciting they are to watch on a pitch. And the number of times I've seen him like win balls when he's on the floor and just the way it's very hard to describe the way he controls the ball, but it's almost like it's, you know, you talk about the goal cliche, it's glued to his foot, but he seems to be able to drag the ball around without losing control, you know, and you know, change direction of play. You know, he's not a finished article. You know, we've seen some wayward passing when he's created the space for himself, but he's still created the space for himself to put him in a position where he can do that pass. And if he was already if he was already at the point where all those passes were accurate, then he wouldn't be with us, would he? He'll be playing far further up the leagues, and I'm sure he'll be doing that next year. And I'm sure you'll see an incremental improvement in the way he distributes as a result, you know, of what he's done here and what he'll no doubt do somewhere else. So we're going to miss the wee man, aren't we?
Luckily, we've got Robert coming back, who was named Young Player of the Year in League 2. We'll come on to him in a bit, though. But Raggy, in my notes, I've just put total domination for the second half. But second half, hanging on again against Carlisle, the team at the bottom.
Yeah, well, I think Tim said before, like, after about 10 minutes of an away game, you almost know what's going on, and it just takes the it just took the same pattern again for me. A totally boring, nothing game in the end. And then, well, I say nothing game. If we end up in the top six, it's great, isn't it? But and it was weird. Was it Nick saying before? It's weird that we're close to the playoffs. Don't feel like it, though, does it, at all?
Pardon the interruption. Normal service will be resumed shortly. This is just a quick message to say, if you're enjoying this content, I would like to say thanks for this podcast and the many others, then please consider joining our Patreon supporter program, where you can donate a small monthly amount to help support this content and help us pay our bills. To do so, go to patreon.com/SeasidersPod. There are several tiers you can support us on, starting from the price of a pint per month and upwards. And in exchange, you get this annoying advert removed from all audio pods, and also everything ad-free on the audio. You'll also get access to our Patreon supporters WhatsApp group, which is good fun, and other random giveaways as and when they come in. So please do support us. Patreon.com/SeasidersPod. Let's get back to the content. See you later.
So that second half just epitomised everything, I think, of the whole season. Just there. It was just... I wasn't aware of the wind being so strong, actually.
Oh, it was incredible. It was really bad.
Yeah. So that is always going to change a game, isn't it? I must admit, I wasn't aware it was that bad.
So I think we'd buy his head. That's what you do. We've all played on common edge, haven't we? What you do is you keep the ball on the floor.
Yeah, of course you do. But you'd always choose to kick with the wind second half, wouldn't you?
Well, we don't know whether we won the toss, though, do we?
No. But what I'm saying is, if we were against the wind, if they had the wind in the second half, that's how you would you would have that as the team, wouldn't you? If you could pick. And you're always going to be up against it when you've got the wind against you. So we'll give them a bit of that. But it's not really an excuse, because every other away game where we've been terrible, it's not always been windy, has it? It follows the same pattern. And it does just point to somewhere in that middle of that game, the system needs to change. And it is very strange why he never, ever once changes the system. Not in play or not for the next match. It's very strange that he must. I mean, if you want to give him his credit, he obviously believes in it himself, doesn't he? He's backed his Blackpool career on that system, and he hasn't changed all season. So,
but he did it. He did it first time round, Raggy. He did change formation.
He changed, though, didn't he? Yeah, but why not this time? Is it down to an assistant, or is it just down to the fact that he completely believes that that system's going to pay off in the end?
Cast your mind back to his first 10 games. That was as dire as what we're seeing at the moment when he first came, Critchley. And it was the introduction of Calderwood that seemed to make our systems more dynamic. All right, Andy. We're just slagging off Critchley's system, so you're... It definitely
coincided with Calderwood being in there. And it's got to have had an effect. It's too obvious not to have. But Why this time then? Why would he not take that experience this time? Even if he hasn't got an assistant that's telling him, why would he not be experienced enough to think, well, last time we changed the system. He's just stuck to it completely, hasn't he? Never seems to make a substitute.
When we first started, we had the Sheriff and Marv playing together at the back two, didn't we? Which I suggested they were the worst centre back pairing
ever
in Blackpool FC history. They were. It was like Calamity next to Calamity. But as soon as you put Marv next to Keown, it completely changed. But yeah, and I do sometimes think I look at Critchley sees things in players like the Sheriff, unlike we've seen with CJ and Connolly, and I would say arguably now Beasley, that the rest of us just don't see. And yeah. Yes, he's a professional, but. You know, it's not like we're one of us are out on the limb, are we? Everybody seems to see the same things, yeah. Apart from him and his two assistants.
Yeah,
it's just
I find it strange, but they've therefore they're either completely nuts or they've got total belief in that system and where it's going to take them in the end. But I think it's right. I only read it off someone else, but we've lost 1-0 nine times this season away from home. That's not coincidence, is it? And that's not us nearly not losing. That is away teams working out that if you get 1-0 up against Blackpool, or the home team as it would be, if you get 1-0 up against Blackpool, they'll just keep the ball and we'll probably win 1-0. It seems obvious to me.
And particularly teams of limited ability, I would say, they have to think, we have to go come out with a game plan here to stop Blackpool. And when they do, it's very easy to do it. Where some of the better teams just play their own game. And that probably suits us a bit more. We can't break down a team that sets up basically to defend and get one on the break. And that's what we can't do.
That requires us changing the system, doesn't it? But he just will not have that. So maybe this, I don't know.
An admission of failure of his system. Well, he's too entrenched to change it.
Maybe, but he did change it the first time round. And so what was the difference then? And
Coldwood.
Maybe it was. The difference. Maybe it was. But he's had a little bit, probably bad experiences since then. But he had a good experience that season. He's had a couple of bad spells at Villa and QPR. And he's come back with his system, unless he's heavily reliant on data. And that's all saying that if you keep doing this, it's going to come right. I don't know. Who knows what these
guys are. I always remember, Raggy, when you I forgot, which game was it when you actually had a word with the Boswells, didn't you?
Fleetwood away
was. And what I remember of that discussion, and it was quite interesting really, was how obsessed they seemed to be with possession.
Yeah.
And they kept talking, didn't they, about possession, possession, possession. The teams that have the most possession will win games. But it's just not true. I forgot who it was on Saturday. Somebody on Saturday won convincingly with 30% possession. Then escapes him to which team it was now. That moment was Barnes.
You're right. Someone said it's someone who won well as well. I can't.
And we beat Wigan at the beginning of the season well with about 35% possession. And it's what you do with it, not. But all this again, I've said this so many times, all of our 60% possession, a significant part of it will be in the back third of our pitch. So, well, that's pointless possession, because then we give it away when we pass it to CJ or whether we try and do a diagonal. So it's got to be good possession, otherwise it's pointless. But they seemed obsessed with it. And if that's what he's getting in his ear, rather than change it up or you know, go flat back four, do this, do that, from somebody who's played 800 games of professional football, who actually knows what we're talking about. If he's getting that waffle I heard you, that being said to you, if that's what's coming out, then I'm not surprised we are where we are, because there's nobody challenging him.
I can't believe that he listens to them. So, I mean, but maybe he does. Or maybe all three just think exactly the same thing anyway. Mm. So, so no one's challenging anyone. They just don't believe that.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's
whatever,
not, but I can't.
Whatever you want.
Having spoke to them, I can't believe that he takes orders from them or takes major advice off them. But maybe he does. But yeah, it's not what you want. It's just two Phil Neals, isn't it, sat there. Two Bradley Walshes off bleeding Mike Bassett. Yeah, go and get them balls. Go and get them balls, lads.
Yeah. You do know we're going up, by the way, after all this. We're going to sneak in.
Yeah, it'll happen, won't it? I don't mind. I hope he gets replayed next season and go, you bunch of numpties, what are you talking about?
We'll get memed.
We'll take it.
And Boswells will have the last laugh.
Well, if that comes to light, John, this podcast in future has to have intro music to Bread. What used to be Bread, doesn't it? That's it. Simple as that. To take our medicine and that'll be it.
All bow down to the Boswells.
Yeah. I was trying to look who that team was on Saturday, you know, who had less possession. I'm sure they won 3 or 4 nil or something at all.
Yeah, it was. I remember seeing it on either ABFTT or X, and he just stood out because he just reinforced the point that possession has a limited value.
Oh, it was Oxford. 30% possession at home to Peterborough and won 5-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. 70-30 possession.
Oh. Andy, give us your considered thoughts on the match on Saturday at Carlisle.
I'm gone. I went to sleep at 3:30 and I only just woke up.
Well, Bolton are losing anyway, if that makes you feel any better. Yeah, Preston are losing.
Preston
are 3-0 down.
Bolton conceded just as they came on. So that was quite nice. Anyway,
Andy, we both predicted 1-0. If you refresh your memory from the last pod, we both predicted a Blackpool 1-0 win.
Well, there you go. It's just like, it's normal now, isn't it? We'll win 1-0 on Saturday as well. It's just the norm now. I think the players have got used to it. As soon as a goal goes in either way, they just shut up shop. And that's it. Like, they just know. I think you've said it before. I've listened to a bit as I was coming back. But, like, we haven't got the quality that we probably thought we got, have we? So we just... The quality's not there. And without Dembele, there's no excitement in this team at all. And it worries me going forward, to be honest. Obviously, we've got the excitement of Apta coming back, but and hopefully we play a system that suits him. But I don't see him playing where Dembele's played in this system. I don't think it'll work. But I might be wrong. But this system's boring us to death.
Andy, if you were Apta, I'm not sure I'd be keen on coming back. If this is the way we're playing football, I don't know. I mean, perhaps I'm being unduly negative there, but we're all assuming Apta's going to come back and that he's going to lighten up our team next year. But I hope he does. But I can't. At the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I was him, do I want to be playing in the system? Like we're seeing this year, and for a manager who didn't rate him enough to keep him in January and play him,
Andy, you know more about arguably, really. I think you've seen him more, haven't you, Andy? What is his key position? Is it right winger?
He plays wide on the right, but he plays for Tranmere, and then he likes to play the ball through. He likes to shoot, and he. You know, realistically, his goals and assists are pretty good. If we were an exciting football team, he would flourish. who would flourish in an exciting football team.
Well, he's stuffed then, isn't he? He's stuffed.
And yeah, I mean, if you think about it.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Like with Wrexham, Stockport, Mansfield probably coming up like next season, then you've got probably some Yorkshire teams coming down out the Championship. We've got a really good Northern League next year. So if we get some excitement behind us, we take some really good away followings next year. We need to be excited to want to go. I mean, it's a crime, isn't it, that Raggy has a ticket for Saturday and don't want to go and don't feel the excitement.
Same, Andy, wanting to go. Same with me. I had a ticket, didn't go.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
Time and money.
And it's and I keep going on and on, and I sound like a broken record on these podcasts. But unless someone sorts out the excitement part of the job here, we're goosed. Because we as a town, we as a community, we as a football club thrive on excitement. The whole area thrives on excitement. And we've been at our best when we've been excited. And we've got bums off the seats. And like, you know, there's games where you've been to at Bloomfield Road where even the West are standing up. They'd throw the tartan rugs away and the flasks are going up in the air. And it's like... they're genuinely, the ground's excited. We've got to get back to something like that because we can't continue like this. If Critchley's in charge next season and this is Division One and he doesn't come out and say, I'm going to change the system, I'm going to carry on as I was, right? We are 2,000 season ticket holders down the drain, me. That's what I think. And that worries the hell out of me, not only for the club, but the community around the club. The Arnfield Club, the Lytham Road, the Bloomfield Club, the Bloomfield Pub, and that the chip shops, all these sort of things, right? We need all that to work. The town needs all that to work, right? So create some excitement around the football club. They have to do. We can't continue in this malaise that we're in. And I'm saying all that, and we're still capable of getting into the playoffs at this point, but it doesn't feel exciting, does it?
At the moment, the crowds are at historic high for what, you know, old Division 3, stroke League 1, you know, an average of 10,000 is the best we've ever done. And we need to be keeping hold of those, as you say, Andy. We most certainly don't want to contract in. If anything, we should be looking to build on that to hopefully get, you know, you can do that by letting a few more away fans in, or you can do it by building in your own fan base. Well, I know I'm saying, rather, there's two ways of doing it, isn't there? But we want to do it where we're filling the stands. That's the point.
We want to do both, don't we? Long term. Our club should attract 4,000 away fans every game in the Championship. But we should also have 16,000. We should have a 20,000 ground, and that should be the aim. Should be the long-term aim of the club. And I've always wanted to know if it is. If it is, whose job is it, and what they're doing about it. See, it won't happen overnight. I mean, instant success will do it. Spend £50 million on players and get us instant success up out of this division and flying at the top of the Championship, and that'll bring it. but it won't keep it. How do we build that over the years? Well, they're the things that people in the club should be looking at.
And it'll never happen unless something changes.
Well, it'll never happen unless someone's tasked with doing it, who wants to do it and get on with it. And
we've designed a ground that could never be full, right? Because like where they put the away fans, we can't fill the South Stand.
That's another ridiculous thing. Any other ground in the country could manage to organise that. Why we don't, I don't know. I think somebody asked, did someone say on that podcast group before about, is the gate of the North End, North Stand, does the gate get opened? Does it let disabled people through like that? And someone put, well, the club say it's down to the police and the police say it's down to the club. And that's about it throughout the whole club. No one wants to make a decision. Everyone just says it's the other person. Until that's got to grips with, there's no reason at all why they couldn't have people. There's no reason at all why they couldn't give that corner to away fans and have stewards or police down the middle of that, separating that and the south. No reason whatsoever why they couldn't do that. Don't have to put them in the south or the east. They could. What's in that corner? Another 800,000 seats. But easy, give 3,000 away fans there. Easy.
We seem to have ground safety concerns at our place that don't even seem to feature any other club.
Don't happen anywhere else.
Burnley particularly.
Burnley.
You can reach out and touch the away fans, can't you?
Others feel the same. Yeah.
Stoke.
No problem. I said it last home game. I only drink vodka and Red Bull when I go out, but I have to suffer that cat's piss in the ground just to keep me ticking over. So I get by a lager and it's like, ugh. So I don't know why I've never thought of it before, but I just saw a bottle of lemonade there, Sprite. I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll get a bottle of that and then put a little bit in this pint and I'll put another one in my next one. Anyway, obviously, took the lid, didn't he? So I said, well, why can't I have the lid? I don't even want the drink yet. I want to put it in my pocket while I have this pint. No, FA rules. I said, I've been to all the grounds around the country. No one's done that. Everyone gives you a bottle with the lid on. No FA rules. Well, if it is FA rules, we're the only one abiding by them all. And if that's the case, well, we've got wet lettuces running the gaff and they need to sort it out. And if it's not FA rules, who's telling them certainly, that if it's not FA rules? So
certainly two away grounds this year I've been given a bottle with a lid on.
Yeah, cool. I've had it a few times, especially away grounds by my nephew drink a few times, bottles. Tops on, no problem. But
there's your answer,
Raggy.
Take your own lid in.
I know, of course it is. But I mean, just look where we've got to. I mean, to set off on Saturday. Have I got my wallet? Have I got my phone? My keys and my lid to go to the football.
I don't want to prejudge anything here, but and I don't want to be searched, but I do take three lids in with me for different things. Oh. It was absolutely bizarre because when you take you. Dude, when I take my grandson in, he'll just kick it over, right? Yeah. So I take the bottle tops in. Yeah, absolutely stupid, isn't it? I have three. I have the same coat I go to most football games, and I put three bottle tops in me thing.
Mate, and you'll be getting done for being a bottle dealer soon. You get more in there, start flogging him under the stand.
Yeah. And the searches. That's it. That's the other big laugh, because every single game at Bloomfield Road this season, where they've done the searches, I've just waited my time, just gone up the outside. It's like a little game with myself, like how childish, but like not to get searched, and I've never been searched yet.
No,
not that I'm causing any mind, but
in terms of the searches, I've every single time anyone's come to me, I just go no thanks and walk on, and no one does a thing. So. That's
not
about
today,
right.
Thank you. Not today.
Just
thank
no
you.
Thanks. Right. Just polite. No thank you. Carry on. That's why we get flares in and everything. Smoke bombs. Feeding the North Stand.
Well, what I've heard, well, the two is.
That's a joke, by the way, in case the ground safety officers watch.
From about 2 o'clock till half past two, they search everybody that goes in. And of course, they're all the people who are going in just to watch the warm-ups and whatever. Yeah. They're not the type to be having packing flares or anything, are they? And then come out half two, quarter three, the instruction is stop searching people because we've got to get them in the ground. So yeah. the actual demographic of the people that are searching is completely at odds with the risk profile of the people that they're doing it to. So
if you wanted to be daft about it, they can't search kids, right? They can't search kids. So, like, if you wanted to put, for argument's sake, a smoke bomb in a kid's pocket and let him walk in with it, he's just going to walk in, isn't he? They can search me all they like. I've ever done it. None of us here would bother doing that. But
they don't search people properly anyway. You could get anything in that ground if you really wanted to. It's a waste.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that just annoys people, isn't it? It's a complete, utter waste of time.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah. And none of it makes sense. When you get an answer...
I saw an old fella being properly searched, like in his early 70s, being full body searched almost, going into the south at about 2:15. I thought, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. What are they doing?
And that's the thing, when it starts to not make any sense and all, that's what gets people's backs up, isn't it?
Agreed.
So, I hope they have a review of the ground safety approach anyway. And the safe standing, favourite terminology.
The what?
I was going to say safe standing, my favourite terminology, safe standing. Most ridiculous phrase ever invented and ever put into football. Only surpassed by the grassing app that is available at Bloomfield Road.
It's as barmy, right? This happened years ago at the Champions League final, right? They printed the tickets... And they printed a brochure telling you all about the ground and the area and where the fans should go on the same thing as a ticket. Looked like the same thing, right? And in Athens, they had to kick a fence down because there were so many fans outside. They had to kick a fence down to get everyone in, right? So they bloody people were just showing the brochure and just going in. It was just like barmy. It's just like football is the most barmy sport going with regard to, you know, all these things that go on. It's just like, but our own issues are just born out of the a bit of stupidity, I think. But also, we did have the young kids in the North Stand doing
anyway, never mind that. Lincoln City penalty. Never mind blaming the North. Put it on you. South Standers. You're the ones that ran on and battered Fleetwood fans, not us.
Correct.
Penalty.
Thing gone, that play-by-play thing.
Where has it come?
So do we want Lincoln to win? I think
Lincoln winning gives us more options, even though it puts them above us. I think it gives us more goal.
Get in
1-0 Lincoln.
Hey, there we go.
Hey,
it's like being on Jack Sock Saturday. Isn't it?
Look at that.
I mean, I might be wrong, but I just think it gives us more options of what can. What can happen? And it's better if there's three teams in the mix, isn't it? Well, three teams we can... And two.
Defo. Let's have a look at the other...
Barnsley's still 1-1. That's the favourite for me, I think. It's Barnsley. I think that's the favourite for catching if it all goes to plan.
Well, we've got to win on Saturday to be realistically involved anyway, haven't we? So with it being Barnsley, that's a proper six-pointer, isn't it? So whilst
but only if they get beat tonight... We're five behind, aren't we? If they draw,
five
we're going to be six.
Tonight, yeah.
We need them to lose.
The most important stat of the night, lads, let's be totally honest about it, is if Lincoln win, we go back to eighth.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're back where we belong. Found our level.
There it is, as it stands, right?
Yeah, the important thing is... If Barnsley lose tonight and we beat them, we're 2 points behind going into the last game, but it means that they've got to win to make sure they get in the playoffs. Because if we win, the draw for them is no good. It puts a lot of pressure on them on the last day.
Say that again, Maggie. Sorry. Maggie,
so
say
if,
that again.
So if they lose tonight, Barnsley,
yeah,
and then we beat them on Saturday, we're 2 points behind going into... No, that's live, that. So if they lose, there'll be 5 points in it.
Yeah.
So we'd go into Saturday... Five behind. If we beat them, two behind going into the last day, which means they've got to win, because they'll be thinking we're going to go and win at Reading, and a draw for them at home then is no good.
Who are they playing this game? Let's have a look.
Northampton at home.
Okay.
Which is not the hardest game. It's not the best game you'd pick for them, but it just means the added pressure of a draw's no good. They've got to win.
And if they lose tonight. If for argument's sake, Portsmouth score, then and we beat 1-0, there'd be level goal difference between us and Barnsley as well.
Yeah, well, that's what we could have done with as well. Is Portsmouth going on a bit of a 3-4? Get them done 3-4.
Lincoln have got Cheltenham away on Saturday, so you've got a fancy them there, haven't you?
And they've got Portsmouth at home last game.
Right, Portsmouth home last game. But if Portsmouth have already won the league,
yeah.
They might be already on the beach, mightn't they?
No, they might be, but I mean, they might not be.
Yeah,
we're relying on a lot of teams to a lot of things away here, but not least us winning two games. Mm. But if it's going to go our way, then something like that's going to happen, isn't it?
1-0 specialist.
I just look at Oxford and think, well, they probably. They're probably going to get some in them last two games. But you can see them, the pressure, when you've got to win, the pressure's different than if a draw will do. So if Oxford get beat tonight, drawing on Saturday's no good for them. They've got to go out to try and win.
Yeah. Exeter in good form at the moment. They've won three out of the last five. Two draws, unbeaten in five. Look at us at Walsall. Look at us at Scunthorpe.
Yeah, anything can go on, you know that. You see it in every division going off, can't you? No one wants to win the championship, did he?
Oh, the Premier
Amazing
League.
Results. Yeah, all the Premier League. Yeah.
Gods are giving themselves a chance and all, aren't they?
Well, they were winning, but Burton's no good for them, you see.
No.
And they play Burton. Four
down,
they play
it?
Burton.
Four down. It's four
well,
down.
Well, if Burton had... If they play Burton on Saturday, I think, well, which would have been a big game. But if it stays like that now, I think that's them knackered.
No, they're down. They're down if they lose tonight.
Are they? I thought they had a game.
Down. I was thinking it was three down, but it's now it's four, isn't it? Four go down out.
I thought they were only six. Oh, they are. Yeah.
No.
Are they six off?
Burton.
Where's that league table?
Burton are winning. At home to Cheltenham.
Yeah, 1-0.
Burton are winning. And Fleetwood are...
Yeah, Fleetwood need to win.
Yeah, Fleetwood needed to win and Burton lose.
Yeah, but even if Fleetwood go on to win now, they've got a better goal difference, I think. So, all the same. So
They've got to go and win, yeah. They've got to
that
go
would
win.
Give them 6 points behind and they play Burton on Saturday. So, anyway, get them down, get Bolton staying down, get them all down, get us up. Do whatever, some corrupt refs or some betting patterns or something, that's what we want to go off now.
If we did sneak into sixth, it'd likely be us v Bolton. I mean, what a game.
Yeah, well,
what,
it should be
what
just...
What better games that'd be.
Tremendous, wouldn't it?
Imagine, just imagine, Evo as well.
Ian Everett's tangerine ringing out.
Can't see us scoring full this time.
It'd do us a favour. If we got in there, you know, well, it'd do us a favour be playing the old leg first as well.
I'm with Bison, so come back to reality. We haven't got a cat and elves chance.
Yeah, well, of course, but you know, it'd be boring if we just gave up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I gave my Carlisle ticket away tells you all you need to know about what I really think. But why we're here now and the results are still there.
There's still a chance.
There's still a chance.
It is incredible by the amount of the number of away games we've lost that we are even in contention, isn't it? It's just, it's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
But just...
it's unlikely, just but not impossible, NSF. That's right. Unlikely, but not impossible.
We just need Portsmouth. Just Portsmouth. Come on. Barnsley will have some pressure on them if they get beat tonight.
You look at that.
Not on a good form either, are they?
No. Look at that.
Some 1-0s knocking around, isn't there? I bet Critchley's sitting at home just having a smug little face to himself.
So assuming,
half the league is winning 1-0.
So assuming Barnsley lose, which means they'll be on 75, and then we play them and we go up to 73.
Yeah.
If they then draw and we win, how does our goal difference look against them?
I think there's only about three in it.
Three in it at the moment, yeah. Three in it.
Yeah, so obviously the fact we beat them at home is going to... They would lose at least one by losing tonight, which would make it two. And then there must be at least a turnaround of two if we beat them, mustn't there?
Yeah.
We'd be levelling that scenario.
Even if they draw tonight...
I'd just like us to win us, beat them 1-0 anyway.
If they draw tonight... Then we beat them. We'd be 3 points behind them. Very close goal difference going into the last game. But then a draw does them. You know what I mean? We want them to. Mm. We want them to feel like they have to win on that last day.
But as.
But I'd say that right now. If it goes into the last game of the season and we've got a chance, we've got a win to give ourselves a chance. Well, then you take it right now, wouldn't you?
I hate to say it.
Are you then going to Reading?
Stephen Roberts.
Oh yeah.
Guaranteed.
There's a lot already booked to stay in Reading overnight.
The game might take till 10 o'clock to get finished.
I will be one of them. Well, that's more the point. there's a lot of shenanigans going on down there.
If there's a chance, you've got to go.
You've got to go. 100%. But I think you might see something similar to our game against Huddersfield at home when you watch Reading on the last game of the season.
Just on that, Raggy, we had a meeting with Reading, must be about 3 weeks ago now, BST, because obviously at the time they were obviously extremely concerned about where things were going. Yeah. And we actually asked them the question in the meeting, because they were basically picking our brains. Is there anything that we're not doing that we could be doing that you think might work? And we actually asked them, look, you know, do you think there'll be an in-game protest last game of the season? And we had two or three of them on from really senior people from the various protest groups and supporters trusts. And they were adamant not. They said, we're done in game and there's no appetite to do it again. And of course, since then, the owner has accepted an on-offer in principle, haven't they? So my gut reaction is there won't be any attempt to disrupt that game.
They were
adamant. I was surprised that it was so adamant that they wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, well, that might be. I don't know. Maybe, let's say the more unruly people that we know have suggested that it was definitely going on. So we shall see. But if they have been bought or they're getting bought, it will change their minds.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't Reading just really heavily steward the game if that's the case?
All around the ground, stop everyone going. You're not going to stop anyone going on if you want to go on, are you? You wouldn't have stopped us going on that pitch. No problem.
It's only Reading, though.
But we'll see. Anyway, listen, it all adds to the fun and the drama, doesn't it? Who are we to question people running on pitches, stopping football matches in belief that it's helping their football club? It would all make for great drama. We could then moan to the FA and the EFL. What's happening with this game? 3 points would have got us in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think if there's anything turns on it, I don't think that they would allow a situation like they left our game against Huddersfield. I don't think they'd do that if there was something to play for. I think they'd replay the game, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, they'd have to do
that,
wouldn't
part
they?
Of the game.
It just adds a little bit more fun to it, doesn't it? We like a bit of mayhem, don't we? We don't like stuck on the top of the roller coaster. We like up or down.
Bit of excitement.
At least we're not mid-table with nothing. At least we're not mid-table with nothing to play for.
So. Exactly. I suppose that is.
It's not the most boring season ever. We'll go off the table.
No. I mean, look at that. We've had to dip our toe into the political world and get the hustings at the Armfield and everything, haven't we? At BBC down. Had to keep ourselves going.
Cole's on his way, isn't he? Cole's on his way down.
Tell everyone about the hustings, Raggy, for those who don't know about
it. I know you put earlier on, but tomorrow. It's not tomorrow. It's next Thursday.
Sorry.
Tomorrow is the BBC are coming tomorrow at 7 o'clock, doing a little piece in there. And they'd like people to go down. They want to talk to local people about local issues and in Blackpool South. So hopefully we're getting a few people down there and they can have the say. But next week is the hustings, and the hustings, if you don't know what the word is basically just a question time of the candidates that were running for Blackpool South. We arranged it at the Armfield and invited them all, and they're all coming. So get down there, 7 o'clock it'll start. Andy Higgins is chairing it. What's it called now? Hosting it, comparing it, whatever you want to call it.
Packs.
And and everyone will be invited to ask questions to all the candidates about what they plan to do for the great area of Blackpool South. So get down.
I remember going to see Andy when he stood in 2015. It was actually really interesting, the hearing everybody, what they've got to say, and the usual little petty jibes that the Labour Conservative prospective candidates tend to have for each other. So, yeah, I'm going to make an effort for that, I think. It's quite entertaining, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I say, when they say they're going to pave the streets with gold, well, how are you going to do it, Mr. Webb?
Exactly. How is it? A week on Thursday, you say, Raggy?
Yeah.
A week on Thursday. Yeah, that'd be a laugh.
Colin said he was going to come to the Armfield to speak to the BBC, and his way of helping the poor people of the South Shore is to get rid of Critchley.
Yeah. Well.
Improve the mood. That's what he said.
That was important.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I was on the train back from Carlisle with Colin, and he was making a play for a place on the podcast team, John. So
no, it does it to me every week, and I say, get on it then, get on it.
What do you think, Andy? I'll let you decide.
Eh?
I'll let you decide. What do you think?
I said we were going to give a 12-month behavioural order before he can come on.
When his ASBO finishes.
He's a great lad, Cole, as we all know.
Get him on. Got to get him on for a guest spot. Get him on for a guest spot one time.
He's invested, his heart's invested into our club, isn't it? And he'd do anything. But he just feels how many fans do feel, that he's just bored, and he just doesn't feel as though Critchley's the right man to take us forward. He feels as though he's going against that and driving people away. That's how he feels. But he's not frightened to let people know, is he? He's not going to bite his tongue, Colm.
One other piece of news, 22 years ago to the day since we lost legendary manager Billy Eyre. So 22 years, that was the club republished the playoff final against Scunthorpe, and we had the penalties. Got it here. Should we just watch this for 3 minutes? It was a good little trip down memory lane. Try and get it full screen. There we go. Somebody watch of this.
The old Wembley as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proper Wembley.
Can you hear the audio?
No, not at the moment.
No. Yeah.
Oh, Barnsley have scored.
Who have?
Barnsley.
Who have, Reggie?
Barnsley.
Please.
Not good.
No.
I should sort the audio on this now. Hopefully by the time we've watched this little clip, they'll be back in the game. Barnsley have won it.
And for the second and sixth...
Hear the audio now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two managers. Good friends. It's been a well-fought match, and for the second successive season, the fourth division playoff final will be determined by a penalty shootout.
We're all behind that goal, weren't we? I was anyway, I know that.
It's like the under Walker Owens, remember that? That's the Blackpool fans saying that.
One, one.
Mitchie Cook.
Mitchie Cook.
Where's Mitch?
He can't watch as long as he scores. He's never, ever scored a league goal.
Is it Graham Alexander that missed
it? Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just going to say who it is, yeah.
And he was one of the best penalty takers ever, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who's this Groves?
Groves.
2-2.
He scored some goals for us.
Look at Bamba there.
No, he's, not, it, he's failing injuries who have to take one.
Heads out, Rude.
You see, Matt Clarke, he's chucking your bottoms on as well.
Matt Elliott, though.
Andy Garner.
Who had Andy Garner?
Hannah. Who had Andy Garner? Who had Andy Garner? Who had...
Have you ever seen two refs in there like there is there?
Oh, yeah.
Must be the other linesman, mustn't it?
Well, it is, but why, I've never seen them in the area like that together.
Take your fan back. Relieve the claws. Then Harding not. But...
Good. What a save.
What a goalkeeper he was.
That made Graham Alexander never miss a pen ever again.
Yeah.
Scored him. Ayres. Hit the stanchion.
Yeah. I thought he'd missed it at first.
Jason White misses the Scunthorpe. Crucial pen.
To Division 3. It's all honour. This penalty kick. And this man. Jason White. And he's missed it. And Blackpool have done it. The team who lost on penalties 12 months ago are going back to Division 3 after two...
Was it Billy Ayres said he asked whether it was his best moment in football?
Yes.
And he said, I've never best moment in football, it's the best moment in my life.
Yeah.
And he also said, I've never had a worse moment in my life, never mind football, when we missed.
But this day belongs to Blackpool, and you can see what it means.
Well, he is the great man. In full kit.
Well deserved, because it was a terrific save that he made. And Pillier and his fans congratulate each other.
Yeah, it's just...
What a man.
The crappiest playoff trophy ever.
A specially commissioned trophy awarded to the...
There's another KO lookalike. Look, top right.
Oh,
what a great man he was.
All right,
Pete. Billy.
How does that moment, that scum, when that Jason White hit that penalty over, how does that compare to the other times you went up? I mean, for me, that the only comparison, you know, the comparison of the utter elation was similar to when we got to the Premier League. I remember being absolutely buzzing because of what had happened the year before. I mean, imagine if we'd have lost that again on pens.
God, I couldn't believe he was going to penalties again. And because the Friday night absolutely destroyed me. I was when we lost that game, because I think everybody thought we were going to beat Torquay, didn't they? And And Bamba, who was the golden boy when it came to scoring goals, you just wouldn't even contemplate him missing. But it was a tough one to take, and rather poetic that we were able to do it by the same route the second time round. But it didn't feel like that at the time. I just remember being absolutely cacking myself when those penalties were going in. Because it's the fourth one's the first one that's missed for them, isn't it? So the first seven penalties were scored. And you won, you know, you reach that point where you make a mistake and that you're basically more often not goosed, aren't you? And thankfully it was them, Knowles. But what a great save for Makalagi to. He didn't, you know, I think if he just got a touch on it, they'd probably gone in. He had to hold it, didn't he?
Yeah.
And as Tony says, what a great shirt it was as well, that Inenko shirt. It was one of the ones I've got, I like the most, that kit.
Made by Gola.
Yeah.
Like Steve Roberts and our coach, we had a flag in the back window with "We're Too Sexy for Division 3 on it. And yeah, Stephen, it did. That started our amazing playoff run, right? Start too good though, did it?
So we're now hanging our hat on Oxford, aren't we?
Yeah, that's... West Portsmouth have a right goal here.
I mean, they equalised at Burton.
But he Portsmouth.
Oh, you can't believe it, can you?
Convinced they'd just batter them tonight. They win it, win the league in front of their old fans.
It's always the case, though, isn't it? You know, your fans turn up with expectation and. They're let down because, like, they'd have won it tonight, wouldn't they, as well? There's still probably 30 minutes left, including stoppages, isn't there?
Yeah, plenty of time.
So, look at the momentum graph, that's always telling.
Mansfield needed to win if they were going to go up from League Two.
They're
2-0 up, so it'll be Stockport, Wrexham, and Mansfield coming up plus one, which could be. Could be Barrow. Crew, say. Could be Barrow, could be Crew. Yeah.
It's about time we had a bit more equilibrium in relation to the sort north-south divide. We've had so many long away trips this year, haven't we?
Mm. Well, it's right what Andy was saying, that more northern clubs, and if we have a good season, a good exciting start, and everyone's at it, we'll have a right good do, won't we? We'll take thousands to these places.
Scotland's at Reading, though, won't we?
You know, if we're in the position, you know, during the season that, let's say, Bolton have been in, where top three pretty much all year, right? Then we would. I mean, that would maximise to what we can take, really, apart from an odd anomaly like the Premier League when we had fans. Hangers on, didn't we?
I think this is going to be It's going to be a pretty boring stream, just us sat here looking at this, isn't it? So
yeah.
We'll call it a day.
Let me go away and cry on my own that the season's over.
So we've got.
If Oxford have lost tonight, you know they've still got to go out and get. You know, probably a couple of wins or a win in a draw. Well, a couple of win in a draw won't be no good if Lincoln win their game. So
one of them's Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah, and Cheltenham have just equalised at Burton, so they're still giving themselves a fighting chance.
Stevenage and Exeter, sorry, Oxford have got, haven't they?
Well,
can't see Oxford.
Never know.
Stevenage.
You never know in this time of year, I know, but look, if we don't get in the playoffs, we don't deserve to, let's be fair.
I agree, Andy.
We don't deserve to, and like, you know, it would feel a lot more hollow getting to the playoffs this time than it has in the past where we've come up into sixth right at the last minute, where there's been a lot of excitement around it. There's not that excitement running through this time, is there? That's not just us four. That's like
everyone
throughout a lot of the fan base. You probably got 30% of the fan base who are probably excited, right? And the other 70% are like just malaise about it all, you know. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And I think we do need a squad reshuffle. Well, my opinion is we need a manager reshuffle as well, but there you go. And Bolton have just equalised as well.
Oh, definitely going now then. It's getting worse. Results are getting worse.
let's call it a day, gents. Play the outro music. Yeah, well, see where we are at the end of the day anyway.
You can only look after your own results, can't you?
Right, Andy, yeah. So... Oh, but we'll leave it there. So, yeah, thanks for coming on, gents. Good laugh, as always. Thanks to everybody who's joined us in the stream. Barnsley at home, who knows what's going to happen. This is Blackpool. It's the Blackpool way, I guess. So, all meant to be said is thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for downloading, if you're listening on the audio pod. I should even bother saying up the pool.
Yes. Come on, Pompey. Play up,
Pompey. Yeah. Go on, Pompey.
Play up.
Play up, Pompey.
Just before you head off, I know you've just enjoyed what you've listened to. Of course you have. Why not consider joining our Patreon supporter program for the price of a pint per month? You'll get extra bonus content in return. You'll get no ads on the audio pod. You'll get faster releases of the audio pod. You'll get it before the Great and Wash does. And also you'll be saying thanks for these brilliant podcasts, and you'll be helping us pay our hosting costs, our streaming software costs, electric, that kind of thing. So yeah, it'd be greatly appreciated if you could support us. patreon.com/seasiderspod. Price of a pint per month, and you also get access to our WhatsApp patron supporters group, which is a good laugh. We've got a nice community going on in there, and you'll also have access to competitions and giveaways when they do happen. So yeah, please do consider signing up and supporting us. That URL again, patreon.com/seasiderspod. And if you don't sign up, you're a
big fat fool.
See you later. Thanks for listening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.